بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم والله غفور رحيم. With regard to the sunnahs of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the great importance cannot be stressed enough. Whole lives can be spent on explaining the importance of sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We will not able to understand it. But just this one hadith should dawn upon our minds that how great is the sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah ta'ala informs Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that tell your ummatis and my bandas, Man ahya sunnati inda fasadi ummati falahu ajru mi'ati shaheed. That as the times are going to go past, more and more evil and corruption will spread in the world. That is, the regard of deen will become less and less and less, and the importance of deen will become less. People will be attracted to all the other ways at that time to bring alive one sunnat. And what does it mean to bring alive? A amila biha. Just practice on the sunnat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And we'll see even the basics, the things that we are doing, we do against sunnat. For example, we going out of the masjid, we so in a hurry, we just take our shoes, chumples, we drop it down, like animals. And then we just walking and wearing our shoes. Whether I wore my right shoe first or my left shoe first, I don't even know. So simple things like that, to bring it alive, you're getting the reward of hundreds of heat sawab just to bring that sunnat alive. The reward of the sunnat is, you can't imagine what's the reward of the sunnat also. So how important this is, because Allah Ta'ala knew, Allah has created us, that how unmindful we're going to become, and our lifestyle is just going to become worse than animals. And this is now why we find ourselves that we crying, the ummah is in turmoil. We worse than the scum of the earth. Because we have lost our, like Hazrat says, we lost our senses. We living like zombies. Just unmindful. So Allah give us tawfiq and understanding to realize how great the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is. And the love of sunnah should come. For that, we should be learning the sunnahs of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and make an intention to practice firmly on the sunnahs of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and spread it throughout the world, starting with our family, our children, relatives, friends. Just talk about sunnahs of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and bring it alive as much as we can. Last week we learned when we leave our homes, then we should read this dua, Allahumma inni asaluka khayral mawladi wa khayral makhraji. Bismillah walajna wa bismillah kharajna wa ala Allahi rabbina tawakkalna. That, oh Allah, I beg from you a good entry into my house, a good exit into my house, and with your name I leave, and with your name I enter my house, and bismillah kharajna, with your name I leave my house. Wa ala Allahi rabbina tawakkalna, and upon you, oh my Rabb, who is our creator, sustainer, and all of you are the sustainer of all of us, I put my trust only in you. Now your leaving is so mubarak, your family, you left them in Allah Ta'ala's trust. Now when you come to the masjid, what are the sunnahs? To enter with the right foot. Just to enter with the right foot, and consciously, that this was the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, 100 shaheed sawab. Besides the actual reward, we can't imagine. Then the next sunnah, to recite Bismillah. While you're entering, you read with your right foot, read Bismillah. Then to recite Durood upon Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So to join the two sunnahs, Bismillahi wassalatu wassalamu ala Rasulillah. Three sunnahs just to enter, and before there are many others, just to enter the masjid. Three sunnahs, 300 shaheed sawab. In not even a second. But how we are negligent, Allah give me tawfiq, all of us, to come and realize our mistakes and start correcting our lives. And that is why Allah brought us here. And this will come, as we mentioned, we continue doing our course on Zikrullah, And we make our zikr as Hazrat has prescribed and taught us and teaching us all the time. But it shouldn't be that we just listen and we are not attentive. We have to practice and we have to try. Then we'll see how our deen becomes enjoyable. Then a person will realize, what Allah gave me, a deen, a way of life. And I just led my own way of life. So I didn't get value in life. I'm so old already, 50, 60 years. That is why many pious servants, when they come to a certain age and they see their life, then they don't count their age as 60 and 70. They count their age as 1 year and 2 years. That I'm only 1 year old. Only one in the last 1 year I'm realizing that Allah gave me deen and what a life Allah gave me. So this comes with the sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is what we ask in our zikr of Allah Ta'ala. Last week we learned with regard to when a person makes the zikr of La ilaha illallah, then what we are saying, one is, wo ho jaye mera, me ho jao uska. Yehi raat din mein dua mangta hu. That, oh Allah, when I say La ilaha illallah, La ilaha, who is there for me besides you? That is the loving translation. Otherwise we know the translation we learn in nursery madrasa till today, there is none worthy of worship besides Allah. But actually it is, who is there for me besides you, O Allah? You are the only one, you made me, and you know me. So, and nobody can do anything for me besides you. So when I'm saying La ilaha, now I'm negating that, tell now, O Allah, I didn't know you. Now hold, when I come to just get an idea that only you there for me, day and night I'm only asking for Allah. Now all the other du'as, so to say, disappeared. All this time I was asking for a better car, for a better house, for a better job, for a degree, etc. Now Allah, those things I realize, those things can't do anything for me. I only want you. When I got you, then what is my degree? It doesn't matter to me. My business doesn't matter. Like Hazrat was explaining yesterday, when Allah is ours, our wife will become ours. Our business will become ours. Everything will become ours. And Allah is not ours, we'll be making lot of dua and effort and taking the wife here and this taweez, that taweez, that won't work. Just please one Allah and Allah will make the hearts connected. Today we want to please the people and we forgetting the creator of hearts, Allah Ta'ala. Then a person further says, Ata kar de wo mujhko apni mahabbat, main uske siwa kuch aur nahi mangta hu. That, O Allah, please, I beg you, as a gift, grant me your love. And if you get a billionth of a billion drop of one iota of the love of Allah, your direction of life changes. Enjoyment, today people say, I want enjoyment in life, but going to clubs, going to resorts, hotels, there's no enjoyment there. One drop of the love of Allah comes in your heart, then you'll see the enjoyment of saying, Allah, Allah, Allah. Then you'll see the enjoyment and understand what the pious people say, that it is more enjoyable than all the faluda and all you can drink. So just to take the name of Allah. So Allah, give me one drop of your, or give me your love. Main uske siwa aur kuch nahi mangta hu. Now, oh Allah, I'm not asking for anything else besides that. I just want your love. If Allah's drop of love come in our heart, then life is a different enjoyment. Already in this world, you'll get the taste of Jannah. So Allah, give me all of us tawfiq, that we try and listen attentively to our Hazrat's discourses and advisors, and try and make our zikr, etc., properly. And this will come when we do properly the great cause of Salah. This is that great, great gift that Allah has given us, that we get connected to Allah. Then see the enjoyment of life and everything we won't able to explain to people. So further with regard to our sabaks on Salah, Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون والذين هم عن اللغو معرضون صدق الله العلي العظيم. We are busy with the sabak of ruku, qawma and sujood. And we came to that point where now a person realizes how great, how magnificent, how kind is my Allah, how loving is Allah. And Allah, who is the kings of kings, has allowed me, the poorest of poorest person, to come in the court of Allah. Now when you have stood up and you presented your case, what you need in front of Allah, and we wouldn't have known what to request from Allah. Allah has given us the whole request of Surah Fatiha, etc. So you requested from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now you couldn't help it. You couldn't contain yourself. And you just want to bow down and fall in at the feet of Allah. Allah ta'ala says, no, first come halfway. Now you went into ruku. And in ruku also, you expressed your extreme humbleness. That I, oh Allah, I am totally useless and you allowed me. Now in ruku also, you praising Allah Rabbul Izzat. And what praises? Allahu Akbar. That Allah is pure, but Allah is my Rabb. Rabbi al-Azim. My Allah is personally my Allah. And so great, like how the grandchildren, you got 20. But each one is saying, it's my dada, it's my destiny. Although you everybody, Allah is the whole world, but Allah is saying, I give you the opportunity to bear testimony that I am with you now. I am focused on you. And Allah is that great being. The whole world can talk together. Allah won't get confused. Allah won't get mixed up. Whatever language, Allah immediately knows what each one's request. So when a person has said all this, and as we have learned, that to realize that a person has to stay in ruku and sajda for the duration of one tasbih, that is faras. To read these du'as are sunnat. To read Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, this is sunnat. So yeah, then further we learn, or janna chahe, ke ap work pa bosi ka hai, sajda kijiye. Now when you went into ruku, your ecstasy bulked, that Allah allowed me, and Allah is talking direct to me. But Allah ta'ala, so to say, pushed you back, come at ease. Your natural feeling was to come close to Allah. But you still didn't realize where I, what you want. Now Allah Ta'ala, now is the time to, so to say, kiss the feet of the kings of kings. Today any rich person does anything to you, especially we see the humble people in the villages, etc. You give them anything, they bow down and take it. You give them little more, they want to kiss your feet. So it's supposed to be a natural thing that now, what a great king. Allah who is so kind, Allah who is so merciful. I was scared about, now I realize how kind is Allah. Oh Allah, I just want to fall at your feet. Please allow me to fall at your feet. Now Allah Ta'ala allows you. Okay, come and make sajda. Come, fall at the feet of Allah Rabbul Izzat. Then a person praises Allah Ta'ala. Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. Paak hai mere sahib. Bahut uncha. That very pure is my great, great king, my master, my creator, my sustainer, my nourisher. And how beautifully our Dada Sheikh has translated this, that main paaki bayan karta hu, meri Rab ki, jo bahut barter, bahut uncha. I am exclaiming the purity of my Rab, who is very great, that he is so lofty and so pure, and I am full of dirt. I am full of the impurity, but Allah allows me in His court. And that is why I'm placing my head, my intelligence, my brain, everything that Allah gave me, my beauty that I think I'm very handsome, all that I will put it directly onto the ground. No intelligence I've got. I'm not like Iblis who more sajda you made, you became blown-headed. And you thought I'm very intelligent. That is why the cause of zikrullah is necessary. Otherwise that same sajda will make you proud and arrogant. And you'll be kicked out of the court. But when you recognize Allah, then you realize my brains cannot work. Where the whole insaniya's brains end, that's where Allah's command starts. So where are you going to question the command of Allah? You just submit wholeheartedly that, oh Allah, I bow down and I accept that I am useless, but I can go down. You are only lofty. You are only great as you are. So me going down, I acknowledge. And that time, there was no carpets in the masjid. We having soft carpets, and we still don't make sajda properly. That time, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sahaba used to make sajda directly on the sand. And like Hazrat explained, sometimes we should do that. At least once, twice, or sometimes do it directly on the sand. You're traveling, don't be worried what's going to happen to my clothes. What's my clothes and what is the greatness of Allah? What is my brains and what is the greatness of Allah? What is my beauty and what is the greatness of Allah? Allah can snatch away my brains in a split moment. Allah can snatch away my beauty in a split moment. Allah Ta'ala can take away everything. Allah has given me all this. So I acknowledge, one is to appreciate the ni'mats of Allah. But where can we know how to appreciate Allah Ta'ala? And where would we know that you fall at the feet of a very, very generous, very loving person? You would have to know how to praise Him. Who would have been able to know what all our brains, we would have never known how to praise Allah. And how easy Allah made it. Not long, long praises, just Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. Now when that person is in that condition, can you imagine what ecstasy you're going through? You can't explain. So ruku or sujood mein, baqadr ek tasbih ke thehna farz hai. Aur teen baar tasbih manqool kehna sunnat hai. To stay in ruku and sajda for that moment, one tasbih is farz. To say it minimum 3 times at least, it is sunnat. Lekin mazmoon is madha aur sana ka muafiq, اپنے حوصلے کے سمجھنا بہت ضروری ہے کہ بعد تعظیم کے پھر کھرا ہونا اور مدہ اور ثنا کا عرض کرنا اور پورا سنبھل کر زمین پر سر رکھنا سنت ہے. But a person now when you fall at the feet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, although it is sunnah to say the tasbih 3 times, but now you understand that who am I praising? How am I praising Allah Rabbul Izzat? So according to your ability, how much you progress in the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as you start recognizing Allah, you make your Islam more and more, and the love of Allah starts building. Accordingly, you'll find that if a person understands that it is extremely necessary that after I recognize the greatness of Allah, I fall at the feet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I should stand up with honor again and then praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, become more conscious that what did I say? Now a person, between the two sajdas, he sits now and with ease and comfort, and he realizes now to sit between the two sajdas, that is very, very important that now a person realizes where did and whose court I was, where I was, what a close position I enjoyed. So now a person realizes that pura sambal kar zameen par sar rakhna sunnat hai. Now to put your head properly onto the ground, it is sunnat. That a person don't just put his head down and comes up, he puts his head properly onto the ground. Janna chahe ke ruku ka jo maqam bari ta'zeem ka hai, usse banda ko maloom hua ke tujh par bari inayat sahib ki hai. جو ایسے مقام بزرگ میں بدون طلب اور اجازت کسی نقیب چوبیدار کے تجھ کو دخل ہوا. Now a person realizes that what is the great position of Allah. Like Allah Ta'ala mentions, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافُ مَقَامَ رَبِّ. Whoever recognizes the great position of Allah, that natural fear will come in my heart. That how can I disobey Allah? Not for a second I can disobey Allah. And then like Hazrat explained, istighfar will just come part of our lives. And then you will be flying towards Allah Rabbul Izzat, not thinking that I made so lot sajda, I made so lot ruku. You realize I was in the court of Allah, but I didn't show my due respect. Now you are making istighfar. So a person comes to realize the great position of Allah, and then he comes to realize that although Allah is so great, Allah is the sole authority, but Allah Ta'ala has allowed me to bow down at His feet, and to bow down in front of Him, and Allah is blessing me with such favors. This is a position of such honor that I can't explain. No person can explain that you, the poorest of poorest men, you in torn and tattered clothes, so to say, and you allowed to come in the court of the kings of kings, and He gives you honor. Doesn't just say, no, you are not allowed to sit here. He gives you honor that come right at my feet. So without even requesting, we didn't request Allah, and we wouldn't have known that, oh Allah, I want to bow down to you. Allah has taught us. And Allah has allowed us without permission, without any security guards at the masjid, without any entrance fees, without any online that you have to make an application and get the permission to come. Although, because we didn't appreciate it, Allah Ta'ala shows. When you don't appreciate that I am calling you, free of charge appointment, now, so to say, we have to online make an appointment to go masjid. Aliyazu billah. And still we don't realize that who are we? We are beggars. We are supposed to be running to Allah. Fafirru ilallah. Running to Allah. But we still think, no, we are independent. Be careful. Don't go to the masjid. You'll get virus. You'll get this. Where? Allahu Akbar. It is impossible to even mention such words. When a person realizes the greatness of Allah, you'll feel ashamed to say such words. That Allah will give you virus in the masjid. Allah is calling you to give you His special favor. So when a person realizes that, how much shukr you make. Now, that Allah did not keep anybody in between. And Allah said, I give you permission. Let me see who can stop you. Allahu Akbar. Like you got a meeting with some minister. Now you feel very honored when you come there to the gate. You tell the security, I got an appointment. Now he can't stop you. He just phones and he said, yes, let him come in. Here you don't, nobody have to even phone. Allah just allows you to come in. So a person realizes, isi waaste bahut si tareef karta hai, aur peshani apne khaak par rakhta hai, aur baar baar kehta hai. Now a person appreciates this great honor that Allah has allowed me to bow down. Now not one sajda. Then now Allah Ta'ala allows you to, so to say, kiss His feet. Now you are praising Allah Ta'ala. You put your head on the ground, throat on the bare sand, and over and over, according to your ecstasy, the feeling you get, you say, Subhana Rabbi Al-A'la. Oh Allah, you are pure. You are my Rabb who is most lofty, and I am the most useless servant, and you allowed me. Janna chahe ke sajda maqam nahayat qurbat aur zuhur e tajalliyat e jamal badshahi ka hai. Allahu Akbar. That a person comes to realize now in sajda that now I'm extremely close to Allah. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned in the hadith sharif that the closest a person can get to Allah is in sajda. So shouldn't we appreciate that? Not, and we wouldn't have realized the value of a sajda. So Allah made it farz that my bandas, come and bow down, it is farz for you. And when you come to realize it, now you won't wait for Allah's call. You just want to get closer and closer to Allah Ta'ala. And we surprised the pious of before, even the rich, rich kings used to read Harun al-Rashid 200 rakats nafal namaz in the day. Where can we imagine? Because they knew that one sajda, what is my kingdom? What is my palace and all? It all comes from Allah Rabbul Izzat. And not only that, now you are extremely close to Allah, the jalliyati jamal, Allah's special nur of Allah Ta'ala's beauty is descending upon you. Now you will see, like Allahu Akbar, scientists have come to realize now that if a person wants beauty, then he must bow his head down. Because the heart is pumping blood, and for any machine to pump upward, it needs more pressure. To pump downward is easy. So when you insert that, your brain, your face is down, and now your heart is on top. So now the heart can pump full blood into your face, full blood into your brain, so your face becomes beautiful. And that's why our Dada Sheikh says, tell all the women of the world, why are they running to beauty parlors? Come to run to the door of Allah. This is the beauty parlor where you will humble yourself and your beauty, your face will start shining. And you see, it's not a matter of complexion. A person who makes sajda, whatever complexion he has got, he just shines. You see the nur on his face. Allahu Akbar. So Allah Ta'ala, special tajalli of the greatest king, he is special nur. Just one iota of the nur of Allah split the mount of Tur where Musa al-Islam went. So what beauty Allah Ta'ala will give us, we can't imagine. Where we running to all the stupid places, beauty parlor, where we running to the gyms, etc. Your brains will become strong. Your beauty will become so outstanding. And we see the pious servants, as old as they get, they look more handsome. And you can still see the freshness on their body, and the freshness in their work, etc. Now, the servant, when he realizes, Allah is focusing on me, fully, yeh banda maare haybat, mazboon jo nahi kehna hai, jo nahi kehna aya, isi waaste hukam hua ke ek dam thair kar, dusri baar arz kare. Now, like when a person goes to a very great or honorable person, when you come there before, you thinking, I'm to tell him this, I'm to tell him that, I'm to ask him this. But when you come there, you get shocked. And you forget your subject matter also. Like Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq over and over again. Open the doors when we go for salami to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Before that you practicing, you reading the cards of salam. But when you stand there, if you know in front of who you are standing, you see you just, so to say, forget the salami. That what must I say? Now so to say, Allah says, never mind my banda. Like you send your child, go to that person when he sees all the small stuff. He looks old. The poor child forgets the topic. So Mali Sahib says, relax. You sit up little, just think what your father said you must ask. So Allah Ta'ala, after the first sajda, Allah says, you came, now you are awe-stricken. You were happy to come in my court, now you realize whose court you are in. The kings of kings, you even forgot your subject matter, so to say. Allah says, relax, sit now for jalsa. Sit for 1-2 minutes and then you'll come, your subject matter will come back to you. You'll come to your senses after that. Then you will can come back to me. So yeh mazmoon, jalsa ka aur jalse mein yeh alfaz kehna nihayat khub hai aur sunnat hai. So while you're sitting in between the two sajdas, which is called jalsa, then also when you're sitting, Allah Ta'ala says, take a breath, but they also praise Allah Ta'ala. And beg Allah Ta'ala in that few minutes, and especially Mashayikh have explained, today we don't sit in a jalsa even for a second, and we back into the next sajda. And that is why our namaz is like a chicken pecking on the ground. No, when you sit in that jalsa, sit with ease and calm and think, what I'm going to tell Allah Ta'ala again. So in that position when you are searching, then read Allahumma ighfirli warhamni wahdini wazukni warfa'ni wajburni. Our Shaykhul Hadith have made also cards that what we should read in the coma position, that is when you get up from ruku, what are the sunnah du'as, when you go into sajda, when you in between the two sajdas, what you should read. Then your namaz won't come up and down, kiss the ground. It will be a namaz of reality. And then when you realize, when you went for your first sajda, and you sat in your coma, and then, just to give the brief translation of this dua, that Allahumma ghfirli, ay Allah, bakhsh de mujhe, aur raham kar mujhbar, warhamni, raham kar mujhbar, that oh Allah, forgive me, and shower your mercy upon me, wahdini, rabata mujhe. Imagine in jalsa, in that short time, what you asking for. That, oh Allah, I must, your useless servant, I didn't realize you my king, you my maker, And now when I put my head there on your, in front of you, now I feel ashamed. Oh Allah, please forgive me. Have mercy upon me. I didn't appreciate and recognize you, oh Allah. Now Allah, mujhe, aur wahdini, rabata mujhe. Show me the path now to you, oh Allah. I just now want to run towards you. I want to enjoy coming for sajda, etc. Now it's not a burden. Any time before azan, hey, it's azan time. You leave all your work, you tell all your workers, anybody who's there in your office, sorry, now I have to move. I have to go to meet the kings of kings. So Allah, guide me. And then, Allahu Akbar, what you coming for? Warzuk me. Sar farat kar mujhko. Oh Allah, grant me abundance. In other words, my sustenance is by your door. It's not in my office. The biggest deal can be taking place. And sadly today, you think you're getting a tender, but you know it's haram, you gave this bribery and that bribery. Here you don't have to come pay any haram and bribe to get a tender from Allah. What tender Allah will give you, what barakat in your rizq, no government can give you. Then you'll stay far away from this haram tenders, etc. The slightest haram business, you won't want to touch it. Because now you're getting it directly from the kings of kings, who is the controller of all the treasures of the world. And then not only, O Allah, forgive me, have mercy, guide me, and give me abundance of rizq, warfa'ani, Allahu Akbar. Or, and higher my status. Everybody wants status. And we think status is I got contact with this minister. No, when you got contact with Allah, then you'll have status. And you will think I'm low, but Allah will put your honor in the heart of people. And people will start respecting you. So Allah, raise me, let me come out of my wrong ideologies, and let me realize that namaz is not a burden, it's not any penalty, it's not that you are summoning me and putting me through difficulty. You want to raise my status. You want that such one dua in Jalsa is so great, then what is the whole namaz? And namaz will give us our identity. Deen, when deen comes into you, then see reality of life. Then you won't turn any problem, you bow down to Allah. Who can fulfill my problem? No doctor, no minister, nobody. Nobody can solve out my smallest problem, only my Allah. And Allah won't tell anybody, I know that man's problem. I sorted him out. Today you go for a small problem to anybody. He doesn't even help you. But he'll tell 100 people, you know, he came to me as if he sorted anything. He didn't do anything for you. And he's making a big noise. And if he did something, then he'll keep on reminding you. You know, I set you up. I gave you this contact. And you just, what? That contact just, by mistake maybe you gave a person. And now you making ihsan dastana. Allah will never do that to us. Wajburni. Now Allah, nuksan mera dur kar. After you have forgiven me, sent mercy upon me, guided me, gave me abundance of rizq, raised my honor, oh Allah, all my weaknesses remove from me. I've got millions of weaknesses. Oh Allah, you remove all that from me. So jalsa aur qaume mein, siwa indoor duao ke, aur bhi sahih hadith manqool hai. Hazrat explains that in jalsa and qawma is when you stand up after ruku. You read, Sami Allahu liman hamida, Rabbana wa lakal hamd. There are other sunnah du'as, hamdan, kaseeran, tayyiban, mubarakan, fi. And especially in our nafal namaz, that is every namaz besides farz, a person should try and read that. And in farz, if the imam still haven't went into ruku, they've gone into sajda, you can read that du'as also. But actually, according to the Hanafi mazhab, these du'as are to be read sunnah in every namaz besides farz. That is the sunnah, and read these du'as, we should learn it. And there are other du'as also that come in the hadith that a person can learn and read. So Hazrat is mentioning this here, like in Hanafi mazhab mein aisa sabit hua, ke wo du'ae agar nafal namaz ke qawme aur jalsa mein padhe, to sunnah hai. And according to the Hanafi mazhab, these du'as, Rabbana laka hamdan kaseeran tayyiban mubarakan fi, in your qawma, in your jalsa, Allahumma ghfirli warhamni wahdini warzuqni, this is sunnah to read in every other namaz, besides the farz, to read it in all the other namazes, it's sunnat. In Faraz namaz, it's not sunnat. There you follow the imam. Now if the imam is getting up or going to the next sajda and you still reading this long dua, no, here you have to follow the imam. And then Allahu Akbar. Allah is showing us that practically we are demonstrating, and Allah is giving us an idea that I send you in this world for a short time to build this connection with Allah. How long is your time? Allah has taught us practically we are demonstrating this reality where Allah says, Minha khalaqnakum. When you put your brain down on the ground, you put your face, your beauty on the ground, you realize Allah made me from that soil. Allah made me from sand. Any person wants to make any small gadget, he's looking for the best for the best material. Allah made the best machine in the world. With what material? The so-called most useless material. The earth, people trample upon. We urinate on the earth. We excrete on the earth. But now when you go down in sajda, you say, Ya Allah, how great are you? Well, from this earth you made me. And you made my, what brains you gave me, I can't understand you. Now your brains won't come in between you and the command of Allah. Now you won't ask questions to anybody where it says in the Quran Sharif, my trousers must be above my ankle and I must keep a beard, my wife must wear, all that questions will just disappear. That Allah, now when you say, Mina khalaqnakum, practically you demonstrating that a person acknowledges, I'm made, Allah Ta'ala made me from sand and water. Our forefather Adam al-Islam directly, we will think, no, we were in the womb of our mother. Allah made us from sperm. Sperm is made from blood. Blood is made from the food that comes in the ground. So we also made from ground. So then that person realizes, I'm made from death. And then Allah Ta'ala pushes you back. When you did certain jalsa, وَفِيَا نُعِيدُكُمْ. Then Allah says, we made you from sand, and we took you out from sand, and now you got a life in this world. Just that little short time, what you sit in jalsa, that is the time to build your connection with Allah. Not to come here and get involved in sport, get involved in politics, get so involved in your business and studying, etc., that you forget Allah. So our life is so short, and really, when we go into the qabr and somebody asks us how long you lived, Nuh alayhi salam lived over 1,000 years. 1,050 years according to one narration. So when Malakul Maut took his ruh, and when he was in the qabr, he asked him that, oh Nuh, now what you think, how long you stayed in this world? He said, oh Malakul Maut, it seems like I entered my house from the front door and I went out of the back door. Our lives are so short, and we got time for sports, we got time for politics, we got time for fishing, we got time for hunting, and we don't have time to make our connection with Allah. Then Allah says, وَمِنَا نُخْرِجُكُمْ تَارَةً أُخْرَى. This little while, now you go for your next sajda. Allah says, we're going to take you out from the earth again. Very soon, إِذَا بُعْثِرَ مَا فِي الْقُبُورِ. Don't you know when you'll be raised from the grave, then what is in your heart will come out. Here you think you are buzur, there on the day of Qiyamah, the big screen will be there. That this person, so-and-so, Marana so-and-so, this is what he did. Your whole scene will be there. And that is why our chair says so beautifully, make your Islam, make your tazkiyah, like a plane crash, they see where's the black box. What has went wrong? Don't let when our ruh comes out on the day of Qiyamah, or you already you see the color of your ruh, that's why your eyes are popped out. A dead man, his eyes is wide open. He see, oh, my color of my ruh is black. I thought I was white, making solo sajdas but thinking bad of others. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, that Allah is showing us, every day take this lesson, and this is the sunnah to read when putting sand in the qabr also. Mina khalaqnakum, first spade, wa fiya nu'idukum, second spade, third spade, wa mina nukhrijukum taratan ukhra. But there also we became negligent, we didn't appreciate this amal. Allah Ta'ala is changing the conditions. Now the covers are being filled with caterpillars. How sad it is. We should be eager to be doing it and realize that man has been put in a cover Tomorrow it's going to be me. If nobody is going to throw sand on me, who's going to cover me? And now you are not being thrown sand, as we learn. Now you're getting your connection with Allah Ta'ala directly. So Allah Ta'ala is teaching us, so a person realizes that in this way you just think that what am I, how am I, Allah has given me this position. And then in Magar, Sunnat, isliye ke farz namaz mein un duaon ka padhna sunnat nahi. So to read all these duas in farz namaz is not sunnat. In the other namaz it is sunnat. Magar qawme mein sami Allahu liman hamida aur Allahumma rabbana wa lakal hamd, farz namaz mein bhi sunnat hai. But in farz namaz to read Allahumma rabbana sami Allahu liman hamida, Allahumma rabbana wa lakal hamd, this is also sunnat. So we should read these duas in farz namaz as well. And then the other duas, try and read it in nafal namaz. Then, fir Allahu Akbar kehkar, zameen par sar rakhe, aur kahe subhana rabbi al-ala. Now again you say Allahu Akbar. Now when you got your breath, now you know what I want to ask Allah. Now you go back into your sajda. Allah allows you. Now you praise Allah. Oh Allah, you so lofty. Now I have realized how useless I am. How little time I had. And I didn't make contact with you, oh Allah. And like Hazrat taught us, Allah says that وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ, we closer to you than your jugular vein, than your life, and you still haven't come and met Allah Ta'ala. So this is the occasion Allah gave us, namaz, to meet Allah, to get so close to Allah Rabbul Izzat, then and imagine the enjoyment of sajda. اور جاننا چاہے کہ جس وقت رکوع یا سجدہ کرے اور اللہ اکبر کرے اس اللہ اکبر کے مضمون کو اسی طرح سمجھے کہ ایک بار اول میں سمجھاتا and a person should realize and understand when he goes into ruku and he goes into sajda and he's saying Allahu Akbar, recognize now the greatness of Allah. Don't let that Allahu Akbar just be an empty Allahu Akbar, like an empty capsule or an empty bullet. A person tell you your bullet can kill a lion, but it's got no gunpowder also. And you're not putting it in the barrel. So what can it do? It can't even kill a fly. So if our Allahu Akbar hasn't got the power of the love of Allah, haven't got the greatness of Allah in there, then we can say millions of Allahu Akbar, it won't tickle a fly. But when you got Allahu Akbar, the reality of who Allah Ta'ala is, how great is Allah, you'll see you will conquer armies with one Allahu Akbar. And till today we see the Mujahideen in Afghanistan, when the American army is coming with big tankers, etc., and they are 300, 400 or 1,000, the Mujahideen are just about 30, 40 in the bush. When they see these tankers coming, they just announce their nara, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. These people get so scared, they leave all those tankers. They leave all their weapons and they run away. And till today, the amount of weapons and tankers they got of the Americans, their stocks are unlimited. That you won't know. So this one Allahu Akbar, when it got reality, it will burst the mountains. It will shake everything. But myself, it's easy to talk. That is why we come here to build the reality of who Allah Ta'ala is. Then you see that one Allahu Akbar, and stay understand what you are saying. That, oh Allah, only you are the greatest. Nothing else, all my wealth, all my intelligence, nothing. And further to understand and realize, ruku mein nazar pao par jamai rakhe. Aur Allah Ta'ala ki kibriyai aur barai, aur apni zillat ka tasawur kare. Then the etiquette of namaz. In ruku, keep your eyes focused on your feet. And this is mustahab, but it will give you so much humbleness that now you realize Allah is so great and I am so useless. You acknowledge and you keep in your mind how useless I am and I'm bowing in front of Allah. Where me? And Allah has allowed me. Aur sajda mein naak par nazar rakhe. Aur isi hakarat aur khaksari ka tasawur kare. And in sajda, don't close your eyes. Try and focus your eyes on the tip of your nose. And keep in mind this reality that I am totally useless. I am the worst of the scum of the earth. But I'm in front of my Allah, the greatest. pure, greatest of greatest. We can't understand the purity of Allah, the greatness of Allah, and Allah is allowing me, a useless slave. Today we just see a beggar who looks little dirty on the street. We don't want to look at him. Allah is allowing us. Allah can see our dirt. Allahu Akbar. If Allah had to make our bodies apparent, and your wife can see your bag of urine and your bag of filth, she'll tell you, don't come sit here. If you just don't brush your teeth 1-2 days, she'll tell you, I think something is wrong with you. You know, she won't tell you directly if she's got some shame, that go brush your teeth, please. So we don't brush our teeth 1 day and see how we smell. Nobody is talking to somebody, he's also, so to say, changing, turning his face away. Allah Ta'ala says, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, tell my bandas, when they fasting, a natural, so to say, smell emits from your mouth. Allah says that smell is better than musk in my eyes. That is our Allah. And we still don't come to Allah, then who are we? Then how useless are we? In arkan ka bhi achi tarah mashq karne ke baad agla sabak shuru kare. Ye baat baar baar isliye likhi jati hai ke usko aasan aur mamooli samajhte hue tabiyat aage chalne ka taqaza karti hai, magar yaad rakhe ke samajh mein aana aur baat hai aur amal mein aa jana dusri baat hai. Ke mashq ke baghair waqt par aa jana mumkin nahi. Hazrat says, now first practice this sabak. Understand it properly and practice it. Without practice, why we are repeating this point all the time? Because a person think, I understand. That is easy, I'll manage to do it. But when the real time comes for salah, we see how we forget about it. A person who learns this theory, how to drive a car, he knows the whole book, but when he goes on the main road without practicing under an expert, now he doesn't know what's happening. You see, he's now turning on the curves, etc. And then he says, Father, the pole came in my way. I don't know what happened. So, exactly the same. So, when we don't practice it, then we'll see. So, we should realize at the time when we're going to meet Allah, we don't practice it. So, we just come in namaz, slap desh. And then also another point, Hazrat explained, that particularly for imams, ulama, etc., that in when you're performing namaz, then keep that namaz short. Read 3 times, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, but not fast. Read it 3 times, consider there are different types of musallis in the masjid. Old people that are sick, etc. And so the reality of a person is, when you recognize Allah, then in your privacy you want to talk to Allah. Not in front of public, you're making a long namaz. Imam is reading all the qiraats from the whole Quran Sharif, not even reading the Sunnah qiraat, making long, long ruku and sajda. But after that, immediately is walking out of the masjid. No nafal namaz, no Sunnat namaz. No, your private talk with Allah should be nafal and Sunnat. Then don't only say 3 times, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. According to your love of Allah, you'll just want to say as much as you can. Similarly, a person in the daytime, with his wife, with his children, with the Muslims, you should be kind, you should be loving, you should be smiling. Not in the daytime you act like a big buzru crying that I got fikr of deen. But at night you're sleeping, no tahajjud, you're not even talking to Allah, no dua. That is the time to cry. In the daytime, be jovial, be kind with your wife, children, smile, make jokes also, and be hard against the kuffar. Ashtidda'u alul kuffar. Don't follow their lifestyle, don't look at what they got. At night, cry to Allah Ta'ala. So this is the reality that is to come into me and all of us. Otherwise, Hazrat explained that you learn your sabak, you became a big alim also, but you still like that kebab that is raw. And you eat the raw kebab, everybody will spit it out. But when you fry that kebab, and the reality of this knowledge starts going in your heart, and for that, Hazrat Hakimul Ummat Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali mentions, you got 1 kilo of knowledge, but you will need 10 kilos of tolerance, 10 kilos of wisdom, and knowledge you'll get in the Darul Uloom. But the wisdom and the tolerance you'll get by the Mashayikh, by the feet of the pious servants. So that is why you won't get this in the Kitab. Na kitabo se, na wazo se, nazar se peda. Din hota hai buzurgo ki nazar se peda. So to come here at the feet of the pious servant and humble yourself, open your heart, then you'll get the humbleness of Allah Ta'ala. When a person has did this, now you come to Qada and Salam. You're coming towards the end of your namaz. Jis waqt yeh bandha arzdaas aur ta'zeem aur arz hajat aur tasbih mawafiq ali ja ke tarke adab ali ja ke aur tasbih mawafiq apne hausle ke kar chuke to qabiliyat baithne ki hasil ki agarche baithna samne aise badshah ali ja ke tarke adab hai. What is this qada? Now you're sitting at the end of your last in attahiyat. When you have presented all your needs in front of the kings of kings, you have realized the greatness of Allah, and Allah has taught us. Imagine if Allah didn't teach us what salat is. And today you see many people, they want to research and take out the meaning from the hadith. They research so much that they forget what is reality. Deen comes with nafal. Who you saw, that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, perform salah how you saw me to perform. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is not there today, but his wise servants are there. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught the Sahaba, they taught the Tabi'in, and till today we have to learn salah from the pious. Not just read it in the kitab. Hazrat Ali, now somebody asked him that, show us how to make wuzu when he went to Kufa. He didn't sit with the kitab and teach them. He said, bring me a lota, bring me a bucket, like tomorrow inshallah Mawlana Musa will show us. From a small 750 mil, you're able to make wuzu. So he showed them practically. So exactly the same. What is the sunnah of an alim? That I have learned from I saw my ustad. How he taught, what he conveyed deen to me. Not just that certificate is not sufficient. That knuckle to see your elders. And that is why the easiest way to follow deen, follow your pious sheikh and say, I saw my sheikh doing it. And that is the right way. Otherwise, till today we see, as people think that I must research, from the words of hadith, they are misunderstanding the hadith. In the previous times, everybody knew the sunnah of Amama is to wear the Amama, how we wear it, the turban round on our head. Then the Arab ulama also, many of them, they said, no, Amama doesn't mean that, it means to throw a scarf over your head. So they changed the whole meaning of the hadith. So we should realize, by just the hadith is one thing, and sunnah is one thing. Sunnah you will see from your elders. Hadith, there are some occasions that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam teach certain things for that special occasion. That doesn't mean that must be part of your life. So we have to understand and realize the reality of deen will come in the khanka, will come under the guidance of the pious elders and our mashayikh. If we follow them, if we make the zikr, then we'll find now a person, now you have praised Allah, realize the greatness of Allah, and according to your ability and your understanding, you said all the praises of Allah, now so to say Allah says, now you got an opportunity, you can sit in front of me. Otherwise, to sit in front of even a great person, you come for work, but you won't just sit down. He'll tell you, sit. No, you say, Hazrat, I'm comfortable, I'll stand. In the court of Allah, Allah is allowing us to sit. Now you're sitting, so to say, Allah is giving you the opportunity, He'll stretch His legs out, you can kiss Allah. Allah doesn't have legs or anything. Oh, Allah Ta'ala is telling you, now sit and ask me what more you want. Or you are sitting with honor and respect, that, oh Allah, give me another opportunity to do another service for you. So this is when we come into Qada, you're actually coming into the climax of your namaz. And then when this reality of namaz comes in our heart, who won't want to perform salah? You'll be rushing for nafal salah, etc. Allah give us tawfiq and understanding.